Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that salvation came through Jesus Christ. It was born to us about 2,000 years ago and lived as a human being and died on a cross and went through death into life eternal to make a way for us. I pray that the truth of that, Lord, would hit us anew this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to celebrate the Christ of Christmas. We all know that this time is so crazy because you go to the shops and you can't turn around. You want to walk down an aisle and you can't even do that because there's too much stuff being put on the even on the ground. And then there are so many people moving that you just cannot turn. You can't do what you want to do, what you normally do, because it's Christmas time. Why is everyone so excited? What is the big deal about Christmas? Well, maybe we've lost some of the real meaning of Christmas. Because it has become so much more about family, friends, gifts, good food, good company. Those are all good things, by the way. But those are things you could do any time of the year. But this specific day is the day when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that a big deal? A baby being born. Well, the big deal for us is that it's not just a baby being born, but this is God who becomes a human being. And that we call the incarnation. It's a kind of big word, it's like a Latin word, and it's kind of a shorthand way to refer to a big idea. Sometimes when we, as we live in the West, when we talk about something like capitalism or we talk about something like democracy, it's a shorthand way, it's just one word, but it refers to so much. There's so much behind that. And the same way for us when we talk about the incarnation, it's a one word, but it has this big idea behind it. This is referred to through all the Gospels, but the person who actually does this most directly is John. John writes in his Gospel and he says this. He says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word is spelled with a capital W. It's talking about a person. And this Word became flesh, became a human being, and he says, dwelt among us. Very interesting, to dwell among us. That word is the same word that is used for the tabernacle. We know that in the tabernacle, there was only one person present. One person who dwelled or lived in the tabernacle, and that was God Himself. So when John refers to this Word who now tabernacles or dwells among us, he's referring to God Himself coming to live as a human being. Now, in case you have you wonder about that first word we have there, the W word, John in first chapter, verse 1, he starts off by saying, "In the beginning was the Word," there's that W capitalized, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. To be very clear, he is talking about God the Son. Paul tells us very clearly that everything was made through Him, through Christ. Everything was made for Him. Nothing that was made without Him. So what John is telling us here very clearly, I think, in those two passages, is he is saying that this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a human being. This is what we are talking about when we refer to the short word with a big meaning, which is incarnation. God Himself becoming a human being. This morning, I want to make just three observations about the incarnation. The first one is one that is often underestimated. The second one is easily overlooked. And the third one becomes self-evident. The first one is that the incarnation bridges the largest gap ever. When we think about a large gap, we could think about something physical. Like if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you can think about the two sides of the Grand Canyon. And you say, well, if I do a bridge from the one side of the Grand Canyon to the other side of the Grand Canyon, that's a very large gap. And that'll take a gigantic bridge to be able to bridge that gap. But there are other gaps as well that are not physical. If I think about Jim Woodyard playing hockey, and I think about Wayne Gretzky, there's a gap. Maybe not in Jim's mind, but to a neutral observer, there would be a huge gap between Jim and Wayne. If you think about myself and someone like Albert Einstein, there'll be a huge gap between us, very, very large. And the gap that I'm referring to here is the gap between God and us as human beings. It is the largest gap you can imagine. King David writes in Psalm 144 and he says, Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them. They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow. They are here today and they are gone tomorrow. Isn't that true? And here we have the Creator of the universe, the one who is eternal, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is all-present, even considering these human beings who are like a breath, here today and gone tomorrow. The gap between this Creator God and these human beings is so large. I'm calling it the largest gap ever. There's nothing as big as that. To give you a kind of example, if you think about someone who has a hobby and makes little stick men to play with, and then consider or think about the difference between these little stick men that you've made and yourself as a human being. You be the creator and they be the creation because you made them, right? And what is the gap between you? Everything that you know, everything that you remember, everything that you can do and accomplish to a little stick man that you've made. And after you've played with it, you'll toss it. It'll just go in the trash. What a gap. It's the largest gap ever. And that's the gap that gets bridged when this God, this Creator God, becomes a human being. It's like me becoming one of the little stick men that I've made. It is incredible. That is often underestimated. But you know what's easily overlooked? Is my second observation. The incarnation is a one-way street. What do I mean by that? I mean that when God becomes human, that's where it ends. He doesn't become human just for a little while and goes back to being God again. This is not a missions trip where Jesus leaves heaven and comes to earth just for a few years and then goes back and everything is back the same as it was. No. This is a one-way street. When God becomes human, now He is bound with humanity. It's easily overlooked because we don't think in those terms. But that is the Christian claim. The Christian claim is that there was a bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. His body died, His body was resurrected, and His body ascended to heaven. There is a human being in heaven with God the Father. Jesus Himself made sure that we understand this. When He appeared to His disciples after His resurrection, it says, while they were talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." While He said this, He showed them His hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, "Do you have anything yet to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish. And He took it and ate it in their presence. Do you know why He did that? Because everyone knew that a ghost can't eat. You can see a ghost, and maybe you think it's a human being, but maybe it's really a ghost. And the way that you would know is get him to eat something. Because everyone knows a ghost can't eat. These people thought that they saw a ghost when they saw Jesus. He said, "Come and touch me. And if that's not enough for you, give me some food and I'll show you that I eat that food and you will know that I'm not a ghost. I am a human being." This is a one-way street. God making this decision to become human with us, binding Himself to us for eternity. The third observation is one that I think becomes self-evident after the first two. And that is that the incarnation is an act of love. To bridge that gap from creator to creation, to step onto that one-way street of becoming human, is momentous. And that is the act of love that God does for you and for me. When I think about the cross, I see the love of God. But when I think about the incarnation, I see it even more. Because the incarnation is not just for a day. Maybe someone would die, on one day they would make a decision to die on the cross. The incarnation is forever. When God does that, because of His love for you and for me, it speaks so loudly. God is a God who doesn't just say to us that He loves us, just sends us an email from heaven to say, "I love you guys, I'm praying for you, I hope you do well, I hope everything is okay, works out for you." He doesn't do that. He actually comes to live with us. He goes into action. And when He lives with us, He doesn't just live as someone who lives in a high society, up on the hill with lots of money and no worries. As Jim has been singing to us, He comes as the lowly folk. He's born into a poor family. knows what it feels like to have no food, no place to stay, not even a place to lay his head. He understands those things. In John 3 verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, the incarnation is about God becoming human, living the life of a human, dying the death of a human, and then going through death into the eternal life that lies beyond death. He is what Paul calls the second Adam. He is the one that now makes the way for us. He is the prototype. He is the pioneer. He is the Magellan who charts a new course, who says, "You've no one's been here, but I'm going to show you the way." In fact, he says, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the way that I'm making for you." When I think about the incarnation, about the love of God who does this for us, it just wells up in my heart. It just wells up in my soul. And when I think about Christmas, this is what I'm thinking about. The incarnation. God becoming human, becoming flesh and bone like you and me. The Father so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. What was the response of the Son? Paul writes to us in Philippians. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The enormity of God, who created everything, who sustains everything, deciding to become like one of His own creatures, so that these creatures could come and have eternal life with Him, is the story of Christianity. The fact that Jesus Himself did this, that He said, "Yes, I'm going to do this," is amazing to me. And when He did this, the Father exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father God, when we think about the incarnation, we often underestimate what it took for You to become a human being. We often overlook the fact that this is a one-way street where You become one of us and are bound to us forever and ever. But Lord, it is so encouraging to us to know that this is an act of love. I pray that that love that You have for us would kindle a spark in our hearts, would light a fire in us, Lord. A fire that will burn brightly to glorify You, to love You, to serve You, to obey You, to be in fellowship and in relationship with You. Father God, how can we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ? How can we thank You for Your obedience and your love for us and the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross. Holy Spirit, how can we thank you for being present in us and with us? To be the guarantee that one day we will be together with Christ and with the Father forever and ever. I pray that this day you will be glorified. Pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come. I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that you would give us today our daily bread. I pray that you would forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.